From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, welcome to our Gospel program. I wish to give as much time to our Bible study as is possible, so I will quickly remind you of our program tonight at 9 o'clock, when we will continue with our study of Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, and the subject, Waiting to be Rescued, Some Gospel Lessons from the Distress of New Orleans Following the Hurricane Katrina. This will be the second part of a sermon I preached at the beginning of August. We're going to listen to a hymn now, and then turn to John chapter 17, the verses 17 to 26, for our study. The hymn is called, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Turning again to John chapter 17 and the verses 17 to 26. Last week I said that there were three things in particular that would be the focus of our attention as we look at these closing petitions in Christ's prayer for his people. I also said that I had a feeling that we would not be able to conclude our study of these topics in one program, but that we would have to return to this passage again. Well, we did not complete our study of these topics, but we were able only to look at the topic of holiness. Let's see how we get on today with the other two topics, that of unity among Christians and believers in heaven beholding Christ's glory. The unity of Christians is referred to by Christ here in his prayer, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 21. Let me first of all note with you that because Christ is praying such a prayer, it indicates that this unity amongst his people was a grievous fact. You may find in the writings of the apostles many references to unity. It is clear that even back then there were problems with divisions among believers. Listen to what Paul said to the Corinthians. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. In other epistles, you will find exhortations to unity pressed upon Christians. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. These are but some of the examples of the battle to resist disunity amongst the early disciples of Christ. It has to be stated immediately who it is that Christ desires to be united. That is easily discovered. Verse 20 reads, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Christ is praying for those who have been converted to him through the ministry of the word of God as it was preached by the apostles. Christ desires that those who believe the message of the gospel should live out this unity with others of like faith, which was formed when they were converted. Each new member of a family becomes united to the other members of the family. So it is with each convert to Christ through the gospel. They become united to the other members of Christ's family. This unity is referred to in John chapter 10, the verse 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." This is a reference to the uniting of the Jewish converts with the Gentile converts, who were later to be gathered under the preaching of the apostles. All who hear the voice of Christ in any age and in every country become part of the united flock of God. The work of grace by which a person is made a member of Christ's flock, it's called regeneration, unites us to all who likewise believe in him. Here is how the matter is stated in Jeremiah chapter 32 in the verse 39. "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them." The unity about which Christ is praying here is an essential element of his purpose, which he has wrought in all who are saved by his grace. The problem arises whenever Christians permit their baser instincts and desires to break out and dominate them. That is when selfishness, self-promotion, self-seeking arises, and the essential unity which exists between all true believers is marred and broken. The second point I want to make is this. Consider the degree of unity Christ desires for his people, "that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee." Verse 21. Members of Christ's family on earth should manifest the unity that exists between the persons of the Godhead in heaven. Christ and his Father are one. "I and my Father are one." John chapter 10, verse 30. Christ is one with the Father in purpose and will. He lived and labored to obey his Father and pursue his Father's will. He said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. He said on another occasion, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." John chapter 8, verse 29. On yet another occasion, he indicated just how important it was to do his Father's will. "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 4, verse 34. In turn the Father said of him, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3, verse 17. This, then, is the degree of unity Christ would have his people enjoy amongst themselves. As he was in perfect harmony with his Father, being in complete submission to his Father's will, and counting it all joy to obey his Father, so it ought to be amongst the true people of God. There have been times when such unity was manifested. Believers, after the day of Pentecost, as they walked in the enjoyment of the fullness of God the Holy Ghost, manifested great love and affection for one another, and displayed great unity. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Another verse witnesses to the same. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. But such periods of unity are, sadly, not common, except in days of revival blessing. It is only when the grace of the Holy Ghost is poured out mightily upon God's people that such likeness to Christ in his relationship with his Father is manifested amongst God's people. Within a short time after Pentecost, man's selfishness and self-interest arose and marred the blessed unity among the believers. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 reads, And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Such self-interest must be defeated for the sake of Christ and his glory and the well-being of his cause. Let me quickly consider the benefits of such unity among God's people, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 21. Unity among God's people is a great means of promoting the gospel cause. The Savior said, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. John chapter 13, verse 35. I mentioned the unity that existed on one occasion in the early church, when it was said, And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. That statement is immediately followed by this declaration. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 4, verse 33. A united people is a channel through which the Holy Ghost may flow in revival power. We will return again to this passage next week, but do join me tonight at 9 o'clock. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His Word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.